Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, this is Lori Coburn with Blog Talk Radio on the Poetic Energy Network. Tonight we will be talking about twin flames and soulmates as a path to God. The call-in number is 917-932-8881. That's 917-932-8881. We'll be taking your questions live and invite you to call in with any of them. Did you know twin flames and soulmates can be a path to God? Actually, anything can be a path to God, and twin flames and soulmates is just one of many paths. That's what we'll be talking tonight about. 917-932-8881. There are a number of stages in the twin flame path, and I'd like to just say the difference between soulmates and twin flames before we go ahead with more. The difference between soulmates and twin flames is that you can have a number of soulmates in your life, and ultimately, because we are all one, everyone is our soulmate. However, when we are in bodies instead of in our spirit bodies, we will tend to have half a dozen or so people that are especially close to us and provide us with companionship or major life lessons. They aren't always necessarily easy. They can be karmic soulmates who we have a lot of conflict with and we have to work off some forgiveness issue. They can be loving companions. And soulmates can be your brother or sister. They can be your spouse. They can be a pet. They can be a cherished friend. It can be a number of different things. The difference between soulmates and twin flames is that the twin flame energy is distinct. It's the other half of your soul. And there are some different opinions as to whether or not that other half of your soul is your higher self, your own energy body, or comes through another person who is the one soul split into two bodies. That's a matter of opinion, and it's also a matter of different people's experiences. And I think that the best way to describe a twin flame is that the connection and the bond is deeper than anything you have ever felt in your life. It's an eternal connection that cannot be broken. Of course, we are all one with each other anyway, so that can't be broken with anyone. But here in bodies, the twin flame connection represents the divine to you. It's the coming together of the polar opposites of the divine male energy and the divine female energy to come together to create a union that is synergistic in its power and its energy to help heal you and bring you back to God. It's not an easy path. No path to God is easy. And if you have met your twin flame, it can be very puzzling because you don't necessarily know what this powerful energy is. It's quite different and more intense than anything you've ever felt in your life. And so that's where it can get very tricky. That being said, let's go into the hero's journey on the twin flame path or the soulmate path. And I will use those terms interchangeably just because most people have heard the term soulmate and not everyone is familiar with twin flames. What is the hero's journey? The hero's journey is the journey we all must make back to our higher self, back to God, if you will, back to truth, away from the body and back to our spiritual source. In a hero's journey, which can be through a relationship, it can be through your career, it can be through your health, it can be a hobby or athleticism, it can be a major challenge in your life, The hero's journey is filled with challenges and obstacles that we need to overcome in order to get back home. You could almost say that it's like Dorothy going down the yellow brick road. That would have been Dorothy's hero's journey. For an Olympic athlete, the hero's journey would be making it to the Olympics and possibly getting that gold medal. But even if a person doesn't get a medal, they still complete their journey whether or not they meet worldly success. The hero's journey is more about doing your best than it is about being number one. The hero's journey can be a person who is a musician, who does everything he can just to share his music with his audience. And it may not gain him any fame or any money at all, but it's still his passion. So the hero's journey is all about what inspires you, what makes you passionate. And yet what happens in the hero's journey is that we are met with obstacles that we are supposed to overcome so that we can prove ourselves and prove that what we really want above all else is love. Love for ourselves, love for others, love for the world, love for God. The hero's journey is the path to that end result of love and oneness. So that's what we're going to be talking about tonight. And there are several stages to the hero's journey. I'll go over those briefly and then go over them more specifically. These are stages that I've labeled, and you will find different things. If you research hero's journey on the internet, you will find different stages, different labels, and they all are just fine. You have to find whatever path or process or way of explaining it works for you best. There's no one right or wrong answer. It's just what speaks to you. The stages that I like to talk about are the calling, a taste of truth and freedom, fear and resistance, obstacles and tests, healing, and then ultimately transcendence. And a brief overview of these before I go into them more specifically are that the calling is when you get this sense of there's something more for you. There's something more important in life and you've just got to do it. A taste of truth and freedom is where you meet your twin flame. And we will keep this now to the soulmates and twin flames. You meet your soulmate or your twin flame and you experience that. And it's the most incredible thing you've ever experienced. Fear and resistance is after the initial high where you get scared. This is way too big for me. I'm not sure if I can handle this and go on. Obstacles and tests are people who criticize you, barriers that get in your way, such as if one of you is married or one of you is ill or one of you runs away from the relationship or people in your family try to block the relationship. We've all seen movies where at the end of the movie, someone will find out that their beloved had written them scores of letters that were never delivered and were kept in a trunk somewhere by a parent or a sibling who just thought that the people should be kept apart. And that kind of thing is actually quite common with soulmates and twin flames, that there are certain people that actively try to keep the people apart, sadly. The next stage is healing. And in healing, you start feeling a lot better. You start, if you're with your soulmate or twin flame, you start fighting less. You start forgiving more. You actually go beyond yourself to love. You actually become less possessive of the other person. That sounds contradictory when you think that, well, this is my twin flame or this is my soulmate. He or she belongs to me. But actually, you become more loving, and the more you love, the more freedom you give. So that's part of the healing stage, as well as receiving more of God's love or your higher self love. The final phase of transcendence is where you move into actively experiencing God, love, oneness, altruism, or world service as your way of being, as your way of life. At this place, you don't really even need your twin flame or your soulmate anymore. You are the love that you have sought. And if your twin flame or your soulmate leaves, it's actually not the end of your world, because you know that you can never lose love. And that's the transcendence phase. And it also moves beyond this lifetime and this body. Because again, these bonds with our twin flames and soulmates are eternal. Nothing can ever break them. Let's go into the first phase right now and look at the calling. I'm going to read a paragraph from the book Twin Souls. And that book is by Patricia Joudry, Joudry. In this book, they talk about the Sufi mystical path, which is Sufism is the mystical path of Islam. The Sufi text states, "Remember, twin soulship is a gift, carrying with it the tremendous responsibility of being able to face up to the greatest challenge to which any two human beings could be subjected, and whereby they are graced. The movement of all life is toward reunion of its separated parts. In human life, that movement becomes a pull in two directions, toward the need of the self and the need for closeness with others. The conflict between self and other is a central dilemma of the human soul. In resolving it, that greatest of challenges is overcome." So the calling is leading us higher. It's leading us to a greater experience of love. And yet, when we meet that, then we hit into all these conflicts, because the object of our ego bodies and ego personalities is to remain separate from other people, to distinguish ourselves, not to move and dissolve into oneness. That is extremely frightening for everybody, even though they say they want love. They don't really want love, because to dissolve the sense of a separate self, the sense of ego, is one of the, if not the, most terrifying experience on earth while we're in bodies. And I'd like to remind people that we are on the Poetic Energy Network of Blog Talk Radio. We're talking about the hero's journey in the twin flame path, twin flames and soulmates as a path to God. And the call-in number is 917-932-8881 if you have any questions. You can also go online and go in the chat room. On the calling phase, the initial phase, some of the signs of this phase are a longing for something more. You just feel your discontent. I've heard it called divine discontent, that somehow something's missing in your life and you're not sure what it is. Or it may be where you just have this, I want to meet my soulmate. I really want to meet my soulmate or my twin flame, and I just feel empty without that person. You may have a feeling that there's something is going to change, that something's happening in your relationship, your current relationship, or if you're by yourself, you may be preparing yourself emotionally and psychologically for something greater to come in. One of the best things you can do to attract your soulmate or your twin flame is to do your own spiritual work and become as whole as you possibly can be. Because if you're not whole, when you meet your twin flame, all of your darkness, all of your issues will come up to be healed. Because a love that intense will not tolerate any darkness within it. And what ends up happening is that you explode in conflict, and one or the other or both run away because it's just too intense. It's been called like a moth to a flame. The moth is compelled to fly into the flame that's going to burn it up. And that's what we do with our twin flames and our soulmates, unless we have done our emotional and psychological work to feel completely whole within ourselves. Some other symptoms of the calling are that you might have met this person earlier in your life, but you may not have been ready. We've all heard stories of high school sweethearts who meet again in their 50s or 60s, and they couldn't have had a relationship back when they were in their teens or their 20s because they just weren't mature enough. Other symptoms are that you might keep meeting a certain person and they keep coming back into your life for some reason and you're puzzled as to why. The other thing would be in this calling phase is to have a certain intention, a surrender to the idea that this can happen to you, because that intention and that surrender will draw or help draw that person into your life. Okay, phase number two, a taste of truth and freedom. One thing to remember is that these phases are not in perfect order. So they can go in and out. You can go into a second or third phase, drop back to the first or second phase, and then move back and forth depending on your psychological readiness to receive your twin flame. A taste of truth and freedom, second phase. This is where you meet your twin flame or your soulmate, and you have a recognition that there's something bigger going on here. It's just a feeling, and this is why there are so many different definitions out there about twin flames and soulmates, because everyone will experience this slightly different. For example, we all experience our marriages slightly different. No one can tell you what a good marriage is for you. That's going to be unique to you and your partner. It's just like some people like the color blue and some people like the color red. And the same thing is going to happen about your soulmate and your twin flame. And that's why when you research or look online for things about twin flames and soulmates, keep that in mind, that it's just everyone's particular experience. Some people will recognize their soulmate right away. It's the eyes meet across the room and there's an instant recognition. Some people don't recognize their soulmate or their twin flame for years and years. I'm currently in a partnership with one of my soulmates, and he and I were friends for 12 years before we were meant to become in a romantic partnership. And all those 12 years, I really enjoyed this guy. I really liked him. And he remembers meeting me, but I don't remember meeting him, and I don't really remember ever giving him much of a second glance at all until Spirit started awakening my eyes to this person who'd been in my life for all these years. There will be an extreme intensity and a passion with your soulmate or your twin flame if it's a romantic partnership. And one of the things also to remember is that anytime we fall in love, falling in love feels the same whether it's a twin flame or a soulmate or it's just another person passing through your life. So it can be hard to discern whether this is a twin flame or soulmate until it's been many years. But sometimes the depth of connection is so deep that you do know within a relatively short time. Also, in this initial phase, there can be extreme attraction and repulsion. You are pulled toward this person, and yet you're also pulled apart. And that is really, really important to know, because the soul's compulsion to reunite and to join is equally matched by the ego, the body personality that wants to stay separate, the ego's compulsion to pull apart. And unless you know that, it can be extremely confusing because you say, oh my gosh, this is the best thing I have ever experienced in my life. What in the world is happening? How come we're fighting so much? Or how come This is so difficult. I thought when I met my soulmate, things were supposed to be good. Well, they can be good, but you have to grow and develop for it to be good. The other thing you may do in this phase, and again, this overlaps with the other phases that come up, is attribute to the other person the best or the worst in yourself. When we fall in love, we see something in that person that we actually do have, but we think we don't have. And these will be our disowned parts of ourselves. Another part of this taste of truth and freedom is that you get a sense of meaning and purpose in your life. This is what I was here for. This is why I was born. This is what I came for. Or there's a sense that you have a mission together. And I'd like to move into phase three, the fear and resistance phase, which ups the ante of the initial attraction, repulsion, the passion, the fighting. The fear and resistance phase makes that magnified. I'd like to remind people that you can call in live if you have any questions. We're on Blog Talk Radio, the Poetic Energy Network. The call-in number is 917-932-8881 if you have any questions. In the fear and resistance stage, what a person does is they initially get excited about falling in love, and then they say, nope, not doing it. I'm not leaving my marriage. I'm not going there. I'm not going to upset my life. I'm just not going to do it. And then you do maybe take a step. You might separate from your marriage, or you might move in with your soulmate, or you might start dating them only to run back and run back to the safety of the marriage. I was just being foolish. I guess I shouldn't have done that. You'll make efforts. You might file for divorce and then change your mind. Or you might start dating the person and then it was so intense that you run away and say, you know what, I don't really love you anymore, or I think I was mistaken, and you go to another partner who's much more safe. Or you suddenly decide that celibacy is the way for you. All of these are signs that you are resisting your calling. And what happens is, as long as we resist the calling in our life, we are going to be miserable. We will be dead. We will stay in dead marriages and we won't grow. We just are not going to be happy. We can be content. We can go into marriages that are compatible and you don't fight and you get along just fine, but life is dead and boring. Now, one of the things, though, a lot of psychology books will say dead and boring marriages are good. Well, I disagree. I worked as a psychotherapist for 25 years, and I don't believe relationships are meant to be dead and boring. Relationships are for our growth. Relationships are for connection. If you're not growing and connecting with your partner, then you have to look at why. Now, that's not necessarily a reason to leave your marriage, though. If the soulmate or twin flame path is your path, then you have to have a vital, growing relationship or you will be miserable. However, there's a lot of people out there who do not need that. The soulmate twin flame path is not their path, and they can actually be very happy in marriages that are just cum-si, cum-sa, you know, they just are not the main thing in their life. And that's just fine. But if this is your path, you will die inside if you are in a marriage that's not growing. And I would encourage you to do whatever you can to fix your marriage, to improve it, to connect and communicate. Because if you don't do that and you decide to leave your marriage, then you will have guilt and you might wonder if you did everything you could. So it is really important to fix what you have first, become very clear and clean and strong with where you're at before you make any moves. Okay, obstacles and tests, the fourth phase. You you need an extremely strong commitment to weather this phase. And that goes for any hero's journey. The Olympic athlete who wants to make it all the way to the Olympics has to practice and practice and practice to make it. That the commitment required on something like that is phenomenal. We just don't get there without that. And with the soulmate twin flame thing, the commitment is around not abandoning the relationship even through the fights, even through the difficult stuff. Now, one caution I would say here is that if there is physical abuse, you should leave the relationship. You should live apart. That doesn't necessarily mean you have to leave the relationship itself permanently if you believe it can be worked out and your partner can learn to not be abusive. However, a lot of abusers never change. There is a very good program for abusive people called the PAUSE program, P-A-U-S-E, with Julie Johnson. I'm not sure. I think you can probably Google that. It's excellent for training abusers to stop and learn how to not abuse. She has a very good success rate with that. But in general, the commitment is do not abandon the relationship. A lot of times people who are in these relationships will threaten to break up, they'll threaten to leave, or they can even... One of the ways we abandon relationships is by emotionally leaving the relationship. We shut down. We don't talk about what's going on. We stonewall the other person when they're trying to work things out with us. So all different kinds of ways of abandoning the relationship happen. But to overcome this when it's your path, you have to have this very strong commitment to forgiveness and love. The other thing you have to do is to take back all of your blame and your projections on that you've put on your partner. What we do in relationships is we easily see what our partner's doing to us, but we have a great difficulty seeing what we are doing to our partner. And it's very, very important to ask your inner self, your inner wisdom, your higher self, your guide, God, or whatever, the Holy Spirit, show me what I need to see about me. Because that is the way you are going to stop putting all your junk on the other person and instead work through your own stuff. Because even though the twin flame and soulmate path looks like it's about the other person, looks like it's about having a wonderful relationship, it ultimately is about yourself. It's about healing yourself, and you can do that with or without your twin flame or your soulmate. Although when you have a partner in your life, it's easier to see what your own issues are because, believe it, they will come up. Say, for example, you are angry at your partner because, he or she didn't ask you to go somewhere with him. And that brings up your abandonment issues. And the person says, well, I just didn't think you wanted to go. But inside you are just steaming and fuming. And you know that your reaction is way stronger than it should be. And even when the other person apologizes, you're just flipping out. Well, that would be a sign that that is hooking something in your childhood or something in your craw that hasn't been healed, and so you overreact. And so when you have a partner in your life, when you look at all the places that you go ballistic and you overreact and you know you're overreacting, but yet you want to just cream them, you want to scream at them, you want to blame them, you want to pick a fight, those are the very areas that you need to heal for yourself. And look to yourself for healing. So that's why a relationship, an active relationship, rather than being by yourself, can be very helpful for our personal growth. That is what relationships are for our own personal growth. I'd like to remind people that we are on the Poetic Energy Network Blog Talk Radio. The call-in number, if you have questions, is 917-932-8881. And you can also go online to the chat room. And we are talking about the hero's journey in the twin flame and soulmate path, the soulmate path to God. So in this fourth phase of obstacles and tests, one thing you may find is that there is a social stigma or a forbidden nature to your twin flame relationship. You may be of different races or of different social classes. Your family may hate this person, or a lot of times you'll see twin flame soulmate things where people will end up marrying or dating someone's brother or someone's best friend. It's quite odd like that, and it's probably because the three of them or the four of them reincarnated together in a previous life. The other two were married to each other, and then in this life there was an attraction, and they either needed to marry one of them first and then find the second one later. But it can be very tricky, because when that kind of thing happens, if people aren't evolved and they don't see themselves as one and they don't see things as happening for a reason, if you fall in love with your husband's best friend or your wife's sister or something like that, if it's truly a twin flame thing, what you need to do is you need to take it very, very slow and really look at it and be real measured about it before you jump. It's twin flame soulmate things are not your typical torrid affairs that are just nasty things that blow up and hurt people. They're very meaningful. They're hard to resist. However, you need to be responsible and loving to all parties involved. And if it's a twin flame soulmate thing, the attraction or that compulsion to be together will persist, and you need to follow it. But that doesn't mean, even if you're careful and even if you are good, that other people are going to appreciate that. We have a caller, and let me see about having you come on, the 209 caller. Okay, let me see if I can get you on the air here. Hold on. Okay, I'm trying to unmute this, and it doesn't seem to want to do that. Okay, 209 area code caller. Do you have a question?
Hi. Yes, actually, I had a question about, like, your advice on, like, how can I say this? Like, I guess your energy, can you feel energies, like, for people through the phone?
Well, I'm not an energy worker. Are you asking for yourself? Can you feel other people's energy, or?
No. I mean, I was actually calling regarding me, because I just had, like, some kind of problems going on.
Okay, well, why don't you say what's going on? And I mean, I'm not a reader, or I probably won't be able to tell you if this person is a twin flame or not, but I might be able to direct you. What would be your... Oops, okay, the person left. Okay, I'm not an energy worker, or I'm not a psychic who can read that kind of thing. A lot of times, as far as trying to find out, is this person a twin flame or is it a soulmate, one of the best things you can do is get quiet and go into meditation and go within. And when you are peaceful, you will know. If you are all stirred up and all upset, that's not the time to ask your higher self or your inner guide. The other thing, too, is that a lot of times even our best friends don't know if this person is a twin flame or a soulmate, and they'll actually actively try to talk us out of this. That would come in along with this obstacles and tests phase, that people close to us will say, what is wrong with you? Just, you're in a good marriage. What are you doing? Or what is wrong with you? I've never seen you act like this. You can't move across the country to be with this person. Or they'll just say, they don't get it. And that is one of the things that is hard on the twin flame path, because people don't really understand the depth of the connection. And they will say something like, if the relationship didn't work, well, just forget about the person. Just close the door. Well, if it's your twin flame, you cannot close the door. That doesn't mean that you need to necessarily be with that person physically. However, you can never close your heart to your twin flame, because if you close your heart to that person, or actually if you close your heart to anyone in truth, but specifically if you close your heart to your twin flame, you will suffer. You will not be able to find your own higher self. You will not be able to proceed on your own soul's journey. And that is one of the difficulties when we meet these obstacles and tests, that often one or both of the twin flames will run away from the relationship because it's just too difficult and scary. But when they run away, they're paying with their life, literally, in the sense that they will be emotionally dead if they are not keeping their heart open. And somehow, again, it doesn't mean they have to be together physically, but if they're not keeping their heart open to the twin flame, they will not be open to their own soul's energy and their own drive to grow and transcend. One of the things that happens is with the social stigma, it's kind of like the Romeo and Juliet thing. Romeo and Juliet were forbidden to be together because their families were feuding. But that didn't stop them, and it can't stop them. And a twin flame will have this drive to be with the other person, no matter what. The drive does not stop. Now, you can drink it away. You can numb yourself out to life to try and make it go away. You can put a restraining order on the other person. You can run away and marry somebody else, like in the movie Walk the Line, where June Carter marries another person in order to avoid being with Johnny Cash. And he confronts her on it and says, oh, what, you think you're going to be happy? You think you're going to forget about us by marrying this other guy? Yeah, I don't think so. And she was in the goody two-shoes phase, where she was just trying to be a good person and do the right thing, but she was denying her heart, and she and Johnny Cash kept being pulled back together and pulled back together. And so the thing is, you don't want to ignore this call, because if this call has come into your life, you have to do something with it. Again, it doesn't necessarily mean that you leave your marriage. You may just be friends with this other person. Your inner guide, your inner self, your higher wisdom, or the Holy Spirit, or your guides will direct you how to proceed. But it will be peaceful, and it will be loving, and with the minimum of backlash with other people. But again, it doesn't mean that other people aren't going to hate you. Your kids may hate you. Your family may hate you. You may be called a homewrecker, or you may be called foolish. All of these kinds of things are not uncommon, but the point of them is to say, are you going to love yourself? Are you going to love your soul? Are you going to follow your soul's calling regardless of what other people say? And when you are in line with your soul's purpose, then other things tend to line up too. When Johnny Cash and June Carter finally got together, it totally lined up, and then they were together for 35 years, and they were very successful and well-loved as a couple. Some of the other factors in the obstacles and tests phase are that you have discord in your thinking. Your right brain says, this is really true and this is really right deep in my soul. Your left brain will say, you're an idiot, you're a fool, this can never work, it's never going to line up, let it go, what's wrong with you? And that can be very difficult. The other thing that you can tend to do in this phase is get hung up on your partner's personality flaws. And what we need to do to get through this phase and into the healing phase is to start holding the truth about our partners, holding their higher self. The higher self is the person we fell in love with. The higher self is the person we are when we're falling in love. That's not just a game. That's not just putting our best face forward. That's who we really are. But the trick is, once the ego steps in, we lose our sense of higher self. And it's our own job in our lives to let go of our ego flaws and to reunite with our higher self, the love that's our being. And that's when we will see that in our partner as well. So when we see the higher self in our partner, we see it in ourselves. I'd like to remind people that we're on the Poetic Energy Network, Blog Talk Radio. The call-in number, if you have questions, is 917-932-8881. And you can also go online to the chat room. In the obstacles and tests phase, you might go through what's called the dark night of the soul. And this is a factor that we all go through sometime in our life. The dark night of the soul is where we're just not sure we can go on. We're not sure we want to live. We're not sure we'll ever be happy again. It's a very deep, dark depression. But as they say, it's always darkest before the dawn. The dark night of the soul cleanses us, clears us, and makes us ready for our higher self to come in. Here's another quote from the book, Twin Souls. Emotional conflict is hard for anyone to bear. For twin souls, it is unendurable. Being so much a part of each other, they feel the other's hurt ever more keenly. That's also the case when twin flames or twin souls are separated. However, if your twin flame has died or has left you, you can know that you are one with that person even if his or her body is not with you. And that is why you need to develop your own sense of spirituality, your oneness with God, your oneness with all of life. When you are healed and you know that you are the love that you seek, when you get rid of all your ego sense of aloneness, separation, abandonment, betrayal, when you get rid of those blocks to the awareness of the love that you are, you will know that there's no way you can be separate from your twin flame or your soulmate. And therefore, you are whole regardless. And that gets us to the transcendence phase at the end. But moving into the healing phase, when we take all of these obstacles and tests and we say, I'm staying committed no matter what, I'm going through it no matter what, then we will succeed. But it does take that absolute commitment to it. Now, in the healing phase, I would like to read a statement from the Soul Evolution website of Antara and Omaran, which is a very good website for people. Antara, A-N-T-E-R-A, Omaran, O-M-A-R-A-N, their Soul Evolution website. This quote from them is, your chance of meeting and staying with your twin depends on how evolved your soul is and how much of your baggage from this and past lives you have cleared. The biggest reason twins have to separate after coming together is their individual emotional baggage. Because in the presence of your twin, there can be nothing between you, nothing blocking your closeness. This means that everything comes up for healing that you haven't previously healed. Everything. And that is true. It comes up with a vengeance. However, when our goal is healing, that is what we will get. When we keep choosing love over fear, when we keep choosing to forgive, and when we keep choosing to own our own stuff instead of blaming it on our partner, we will be healed. The biggest thing that you can do in your relationship is to forgive. When you are angry with your partner, ask your higher wisdom, God, the Holy Spirit, your guide, ask, what do I need to see about myself? And you will be shown. You will be directed back to yourself to look at what's going on with you, what is triggering you, what buttons are being pushed, and how you can feel whole even if your partner isn't giving you what you want. Say, for example, you want to feel like you're loved or cherished, and your partner's not doing that for you in certain ways that you expect him or her to. And you're going ballistic. Why don't you do this for me? You should do this for me. I don't feel loved. You're not very loving. That partner is doing exactly what you need in order to bring that back to yourself so that you can grow, so that you can get that from yourself and not need it from anywhere outside yourself. And once you get it from yourself, the chances of getting it from your partner are much greater because there's not that resistance and that push and pull. So the partner is just mirroring what your own lacks are. And we can get everything we need from God, from our higher self, from our beingness. And that's what we ultimately need to do. Because remember again, the twin flame soulmate path looks like it's about a relationship with another person. It is, but it's really ultimately your relationship with your capital S self, your higher self, your beingness. So here in the healing stage, we start recognizing that we go beyond the definition of a twin flame to where everyone is our soulmate, everyone is one with us. We don't necessarily need to be just with our twin flame, and if we do lose our twin flame, we can handle it. In our earlier phases, that is much more traumatic, but in the later phases, if that happens, it's not the end of the world. The other thing in the healing phase is there might be a reunion on either the physical or the soul level. Where there was conflict before, you are now united and you are healed. And this also can happen whether or not your twin flame is present. Say, for example, your twin flame has left you and you've been hurt all these years. When you completely forgive that and when you realize that you're not your body and that person is not his or her body and that you can't be separated, a reunion on the soul level happens and you are completely whole and you feel like you are together again. So even though the body's not together, you are together in truth because the spirit soul level is the higher reality. Bodies always die and change and separate, but spirit soul is one forever, eternally. And on that soul level, you feel a connection with that twin flame, again, stronger than anything you've felt before. And here's another quote from the book Twin Souls. There is in twin souls a certain obedience to each other, not unlike the mystic's obedience to God. And what that means is that on that soul level, even if the person has abandoned you at this level or hurt you, there's just this sense of trust, like, everything's happening for a reason. This happened for my growth. There's something higher going on in spite of even possibly negative appearances at the physical level. It's important to remember that because if you just look at the physical level of the hurt and the fighting and the problems that have happened between you, you're losing the truth. Now, one of the things, though, is that if you are in your twin flame soulmate relationship and you've stayed together and you've never broken up, congratulations, because that is a major, major accomplishment. And not everybody goes through a lot of conflict when they meet their soulmate or twin flame. Again, it depends on how evolved you were before you met the person, how much of your emotional baggage you have dropped and healed. That's why you might see a reunion later on down the road when there's been a physical separation for 5, 10, 20 years. The twin flames might get back together. For example, one of my good friends who was with her twin flame 12 years ago has been doing a tremendous amount of work on herself and working through a lot of abuse that happened in her childhood. And after 12 years, her twin flame just called her to reunite with her because she was finally ready. And they had not had contact in 12 years. But when she got healthy and whole and she was just about ready to, well, she was actually closing on one thing and buying a new business on another to move into her higher service work, he called her. He called her that week. The timing was just like the movies. And the twin flame soulmate thing is just like Hollywood. Serendipitous things happen when you are committed, when you're healing, strange happenings, coincidences, you will meet each other in strange places, or people will call at just a crazy, strange time. It is like the movies, often. Not always, but often. So the other thing in the healing phase is cracking open your shell and starting to receive God's love. You have to remember that it's always about your relationship with Source, with your higher self, God, yourself, more than it is even about with your partner. And as we move into the transcendence phase, the last phase to discuss, I'd like to state again that we're on the Poetic Energy Network of Blog Talk Radio. The call-in number is 917-932-8881. We have about 7 minutes left. And the transcendence phase is what I describe as the final phase in the soulmate's journey back to God. This is where you really feel that the romance parallels a religious experience. Now, you get that also in the taste of freedom in the initial phases when you experience this. Like, wow, this is amazing, this feeling. I've never felt anything this deep or this beautiful. And it feels like this must be heaven on earth. This must be God. Well, actually, it is the reflection of God here. Things here are never all of God because God and truth, being absolute, being beyond space and time, really can't be totally experienced here, or we would not be here in bodies. However, we can experience the reflection of God here, and a twin flame relationship is one of those high reflections. It's when we're in the oneness, that state of bliss, the balance between the male and the female energies. The yin and the yang is perfectly balanced. We have a total vibrational match with this other person. In fables and legends, it might be said that we have found the Holy Grail. Or it may be like the alchemical transformation of the lower energies into the higher energies. In the medieval times when they wanted to change lead into gold, people that were the Rosicrucians or the Kabbalists who did the tarot, or people who knew of the metaphysical, mystical nature, knew that alchemy really is not about transmuting lead into gold or metals into gold, but transmuting lower spiritual energies, lower energies on earth into the higher spiritual transformational energies. That's what true alchemy is. Moving into our oneness with God and all things, our higher self. In this transcendence phase, we know that this oneness is forever. It can never be broken. We know that only love is real. Nothing else exists. God / truth / love is all there is. There is a really good book called Only Love is Real by Brian Weiss, W-E-I-S-S. He's done a lot of hypnosis work for past life recalls, and he's a medical doctor, and he's written several books. and he talks about soulmates being reunited. The Only Love Is Real book is about a case history of his where these two people were being, they were separate clients of his, and they were being hypnotized into their past lives. And he realized that they knew each other. And so at some point, he tried to get them together. And he thought, oh, no, they'll never get back together. They'll never get back together. Well, I won't. I'm not going to tell you the ending. It's really good. The book is Only Love Is Real. And how these people come together is amazing and serendipitous. And that is what happens after they did all their work. They healed. And the soulmates came together as they were meant to. And so the one thing, too, that happens in the transcendence phase is that we start loving everyone the same as we love our twin flame or our soulmate. And what I had happen to me a couple years ago is I had this epiphany where the calling became toward this transcendence. And it was almost as if Spirit God was talking to me and saying, what if I could love everyone the way I love my twin flame? And what has happened as I've transcended and grown, and I'm not claiming to be enlightened or anything, but as I've grown, that love and that heart opening for all people and all things just keeps expanding and expanding. And it really is the most beautiful way of living. I have a lot more heart expansion to do, but compared to where I used to be, this is really, really nice. So that work that you do on yourself with the twin flame holding a beacon of what can be, this it's like the twin flame is your paradigm or your model or your way of saying, this is what could be all the time. I really, truly can have this kind of love in my life. And that's why it becomes a path to God, because it shows us what is possible. You hear things where people have had other relationships, and they always heard about soulmates or they heard about twin flames, but they thought it really wasn't real or it didn't exist really for them, or it was only for Hollywood or fairy tales. And then it happened to them, and they went, man, now I know what all these people were talking about. So if you ever hear people saying, oh, that stuff does not exist, or it's just the honeymoon phase, it's just the falling in love, the pheromones and the hormones in your mind, and it never lasts, do not believe them. That is not true. Because love is what you are. And if the soulmate twin flame thing is your path, it will keep beckoning you and calling you. And you can be in love with every single partner that you have. And then what this leads to, ultimately, with the transcendence, is that you turn your life over to service in the higher good of all. That is the ultimate goal for the twin flame soulmate path to God, that you let go of your ego and you are there to serve in and from a place of love. I think people that may have done this, if you look at John and Abigail Adams in the founding of our country, I don't know if they had a twin flame relationship, who's to say? But they sure had some kind of soulmate bond or union. And there's lots of letters between them where they missed each other and stuff. But they brought our country. They were part of the founding fathers here. And where would our country be without them? There are other people, I would say John Lennon and Yoko Ono. Look what they've given the world. And we may not be giving the world on that grand of a scale, but we're all here to give. And our time is up, and I thank you very much. I'm Lori Coburn. Good night.